What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Let's get this show a-going. Welcome to the Adventures of Danny and Mike. To my right, Mr. Danny Tamborelli. What a day. What is going on?
It's Thanksgiving yep. Eve when most people are out getting hammered and puking on themselves because they don't want to go home and see their families.
And to his right, Mr. Michael C. Marona.
This is the time when people fight on airplanes. I never know about that because I've never traveled very far for Thanksgiving. So even less far this year.
And my name is Jeremy. Thank you so much for tuning in. Our special guests for the entire episode. They have 100% perfect rating right now for the documentary on Rotten Tomatoes. No pressure. I don't know if that's going to hold, but no pressure. It's Scott Barber and Adam Sweeney from the Orange Years documentary. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for having us. We're excited to be here.
Yeah, thanks for hanging out.
That's probably the best intro that Jeremy's ever given to any guest.
Yeah, I finally got it right. Yes. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, you guys have a perfect rating on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know how I would be nervous all day, every day.
Yeah, I'd be hitting refresh constantly on the browser.
I may or may not have been doing that exact thing, but I don't want to admit to it.
It seems like you hit on all the right nostalgic heartstrings to make Rotten Tomatoes say, "We belly up. Whatever you guys put on there, whatever's on film there."
We just had to make an agreement not to ever team up with Zack Snyder, I think, is the way that we figured it out.
No cuts. No other cut.
That was it. Yeah, he'll end up actually doing for HBO Max, he's going to do a reboot of this, though. So it's going to be wonderful.
Snyder cut.
What's that?
Danny, you blame me.
It's called the lime green years. They're just like, there are two colors, kind of, whichever one you like. You guys took the good one.
Turns
first.
Out everybody's mother's named Martha for some reason. So, yeah.
This is the future that liberals want.
Wow. It's true. Well, thank you so much for guesting and coming on to talk about this. I've only seen the trailer so far. I know it's on video on demand as we speak, but I am going to watch it and can't wait. And
it would be very unethical for you to give it 100.
Well,
100 Rotten Tomatoes.
I've
if you hadn't
seen met them, yet. Like I can't give them like a 4 out of 5. I would be the one. You know what I mean?
You would be the one.
Just give them your Venmo information.
What?
And anything is possible, is what I'm saying. Yeah. Here.
You know? Is that how that works? I don't. Okay.
Yeah, I used to grease a guy who was a Nielsen guy to be like, "Oh, you should watch if you watch this show, my buddies, it didn't work out so well. I tried to get Kurt Bronner's bunk to finally go somewhere because what a great show that was.
I like that show. Great. I don't care.
Did it work?
No, I was being serious. And I meant it.
You should have greased him with actual money then instead of Monopoly money.
Right. And well, it wasn't actual money. It was food related, really. But whatever. It didn't work out. He said I couldn't watch it. And I said, "Well, that's tragic. And I want my money back for that Wendy's I got you."
You actually gave them like French fry grease and they were like, "I don't think you're
sir, this is a Wendy's."
It was those, the frosty coupons that they had. That was just, I had a whole pack and they said they were good until 2019. And this is like 5 years ago now. So I thought maybe this would work out, but it didn't work out.
Did you guys ever watch?
But I won't bring them to you guys. Yeah. I promise. That's his name. I won't mention him or bring anything up.
Let's just say Dave Thomas of Wendy's.
He's dead, dude.
No wonder his vote was ineffective.
Right.
I've done 3 Wendy's commercials in my tenure. Okay, so I respected the product.
Did they let you keep any shakes or anything?
I always thought that they would do something for me. Like by the third one, You know, I did one when I was like 8, one when I was like 13 or 14, and I did one right after or like right before I went to college at like 18.
So we can kind of watch you grow up in fast food.
Through Wendy's commercials, yeah, specifically.
It's kind of, it's like learning English from the Police Academy movies.
I think that's the most American thing ever, to watch someone grow up through Wendy's commercials.
How did you grow up? Through fast food commercials.
That's true. Look, not many people who immigrate here know how to use supersize properly. So we have to teach them.
You know,
there's a role for every straw. It's true.
I don't think I have ever found one of those Wendy's commercials. Because we show a lot, we do a live show called Nostalgia Personified, and so we'll show these guys their commercials from years past and basically make fun of them, or that's my position. But yeah, I don't think we've ever seen a Wendy's commercial from you, have we? Wrestling Buddies is in there.
There's one that pops up.
That should have been in the documentary.
There you go.
We messed up. Right?
Well, you know what? That was the other thing. Any child actor who was on Nickelodeon, they couldn't have commercials on the network, or they would get, it would just blow everybody up.
Oh, that's a good point.
They had to keep it like on brand. Mm. No, he was Little Pete. He's not some kid from a Wendy's commercial.
He's not Zach the Lego Maniac.
He's not eating a spicy chicken sandwich and sweating about it.
Is that what your commercial was about? You recall it now?
No, it was the last one I can remember was about paying. It was about like, okay, so I got $100 for rent. Got to pay rent. It was like me like going over my bills, and I was like $100 for rent. Sign me up.
This one, that yeah. This like one is this one is like just before ever. College.
Oh, $10 for the new Screaming Baby CD. I think that's really, it really timestamps the commercial.
What year? I need
totally 90s.
It's got to be like 2000 or 2001.
Oh,
are you trying to look for it? It's nothing.
I thought this was Young Danny video.
No, there's young ones too. I did them all. I've done through McDonald's. I've done. Years, I think I even did a Rally's commercial. Fries. You guys know about Rally's down there.
So what is what is Rally's?
Oh, maybe.
Isn't Rally, well,
you it's have, not no, Checkers. Is, it's not Checkers.
It's Checkers and Rally's.
Okay, okay.
Those are like the same thing. You guys Arby's, have Checkers down there?
Arby's is Hardee's north of the Mason-Dixon line.
Okay, got it. Okay. It's kind of like, what is it? Carl's Jr. and what's the other one? Carl's Jr. is
Old Carl. And Old Carl. Yeah. Carl yeah. Mountain and Pacific time zones is Carl's Jr. Central and Eastern is Old Carl.
Old Carl.
Old Carl. Old Carl only serves roast beef, but with not enough gravy. That's actually right, their specialty.
Okay.
And
okay.
They call that the hot Carl.
It's Hardee's. It's Carl okay. Jr. and Hardee's.
Not okay. Oh, right. Right. Carl's.
Mm-hmm. And they have the star.
You know that from watching all the NASCAR.
Yes, exactly. Because that's all we do in Texas is just pretty that's much it. NASCAR.
They have the star in common.
Oh, no. No, I don't believe that.
Queso dip.
Queso, yeah. NASCAR.
Carl Jr., like, they did all the, like, really, like, I don't want to say call it unsavory, but I remember like they did like their thing was they were like, we're going to do all of the advertisements that just show women eating. Yeah, burgers.
They had Paris Hilton. Yes. Yeah. Paris Hilton,
racy,
right?
Very racy ads with sauce dripping from places that nobody wants sauce to be dripping from.
Yeah.
I don't know about you.
Speak for yourself. Sauce can drip from wherever it wants.
Look, if it's too spicy, it'll burn my skin a little bit, and I'll have a little red mark.
As
here.
A former Macy's, as a former Wendy's spokesmodel, I think you're limited in what you can say here.
No, I mean all of my all of those conflicts of interest are long.
Yeah,
gone.
Imagine Little Pete telling you, "Hey, it's to get hepatitis C."
I'm begging you, agency, give me a Wendy's commercial to do in my little home studio. Just a radio spot, nothing big. 500, 600 plus 10%, a little back end. That'd be great.
A little back end. That's the name of the commercial because that's what you get when you eat it.
A little back end?
That was the name of the campaign that Carl's Jr. did. Was a little back end.
That was the little back end. It's got to be L-I-apostrophe-L, not little.
Yes, little back end.
That was my first Dirty South MC name was Little Back End.
You opened up for Ludacris. I remember that.
It was good times.
He saw this guy named Twista and was like, wow, he raps very fast.
I have like a New York impatience, like a classic New York impatience, but I didn't really feel it that it was that aggravated when we went to Texas. I didn't find myself like constantly looking at my watch and tapping my feet while people were talking. I feel like most people talk normal, and it's mostly in traffic that I get impatient.
Yeah. Yeah. The traffic's pretty bad here. Like depending on where you go, like the Austin traffic's bad, Houston traffic. I mean, maybe that's any Metroplex or any, you know, but yeah, I get that completely.
Well, those are also cities that have been gaining a lot of people in the last decade.
And tons of cars and tons of Subarus.
Their infrastructure wasn't ready to handle it.
All the Subaru related traffic is really jamming you up there in Austin.
Yeah.
Was that for ATX?
Yes.
Was it ATX TV Fest? Was that the last time you guys were in Texas?
Yes. That's why we're here.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And that the reason we were there is because of you guys.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Isn't that how that happened? And that was a cross-pollination of your documentary and
the TV Fest.
Nickelodeon wanting to do their,
you know, that's right.
Yeah.
Do yeah. That. Yeah.
That was very cool. So thank you, because
the guys realized they owe their affinity for Topo Chico to the fellas they're talking to.
We partied pretty hard in Austin.
Guys,
the first time we went to,
we were on Congress, and then we made our way elsewhere.
Yeah. Yes. We went to a cool little, like, it was like a little park that had like four or five different little trailers of food.
Yeah. Like Hello Kitty.
We started with Al Pastor. We started with Al Pastor tacos, and we went from there.
That's great.
We went from there.
Probably like Hello Cupcake, and a couple places were over there, I think.
Probably. Okay. I mean, once we got into it,
it becomes a blur.
Remember. We just started going to different
did
places.
Y'all hang out?
We ended up at the Continental.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Watching. So it was like a Howlin' Wolf, like, appreciation night. Awesome.
It was great.
So I got busted
for picking succulents. I was just picking up desert plants all over to like stuff them in my pockets, take them back to New York.
And that panel had you guys and then Danny Cooksey and then some of the Hey Dude people. Did y'all hang out with, y'all hanging out with the whole Nickelodeon crew or just kind of by yourself?
Yeah, some of us went out. Some of us all went out. I'm trying to remember who it was. Actually, I think it was mostly like the Nickelodeon staff.
Okay.
My buddy Josh Lay at the time was the head writer for The Splat. And so,
Kelly from Hey Dude, is that who was there? I'm spacing. Am I spacing on the name?
Yeah,
that's correct.
Right. I think it was Kelly and then David Lasher.
Yes.
Who was hilarious. Yeah.
That's right.
And then Danny Cooksey from Salute Your Shorts.
Yeah.
Don't say Budnick.
Don't say Budnick. No, no, no.
Don't say Budnick.
It's okay. It's not the same as if they're, You're Killing Me Smalls guy. You can't say You're Killing Me Smalls to him because he'll beat you up.
I heard he beat somebody's ass in an airport.
He did drunkenly. And then he got in trouble for it.
Wow.
Actually, my old manager, her son and I are good friends, and he grew up in Jersey, Smalls. I don't even know your name. I'm sorry.
You're just asking for a face punch.
What a dick. It's okay. No, I'll wait for it.
Did you ever get your ass beat or no?
No, I didn't. But he went to school with him, and my buddy Dennis said, "You're killing me, Smalls," to him. And that was like an in school fight that happened. So I'm only one degree of separation from one of Small's like big time like brawly fights. Anyway, that's just something I like to talk about sometimes.
You collect people's petunia photos.
You're brushed with greatness.
Yeah. Yes, I've been brushed with greatness. greatness for sure.
I remember I went to a UT football game. I think it was last year, and I don't know if he was there, but there was a group of the Sandlot kids that came for a reunion. The actors and they were all like about it, you know, like they came onto the field and everything and were like, yeah, like so pumped up. So I don't know. I wouldn't call him by his name, but yeah, like
it's hard.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. This right. The actor that would move on from playing Smalls would I don't think he was there. I don't think he was there. Squints was there for sure.
Are you saying he left it all on the field?
That's exactly what he did.
The real problem is, as someone who is in the Mighty Ducks, there's like this, like,
you left it all on the ice.
Like, who's,
we
no,
get
it's
it.
Like, who, what, who's, who's the, what's the better 90s, you know, kids oh, sports yeah. movie? Is it Mighty Ducks or is it The Sandlot?
I'm pretty sure it's Ladybugs.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would actually, agree. I would actually agree with you. I would agree with you there.
Yeah.
Jonathan Brandis.
The world learned to love Vanessa Shaw.
And Jonathan Brandis just, you know, legs for days in those short umbrellas.
You get a point.
It's true. Just legs for days.
Well, not to change the subject completely, but I do want to talk about the documentary and how
speaking of legs for days, speaking of legs for days, is how you do it.
Oh, that's yeah. good. That's a good yeah, segue. Yeah.
The no, I just wanted to know because I know it's been there's been a buzz about it for a long time. We've done the podcast for a long time, and obviously I knew the guys were in it and a lot of other people, but I just wanted to sort of know how you guys started it. What was the idea? Why did you do it?
Yeah. So Scott and I have been friends since sixth grade. We knew of each other since fourth grade.
Wow.
We became, one of the ways that we became friends is we were in this thing called Odyssey of the Mind, and we started hanging out. Oh, shit. And we came from broken homes, and the way that we stayed friends, because back then you didn't have social media, so if you moved away, right, even if it was 30 minutes, it was like you basically were in Siberia. Yep. The ways that we stayed friends is that we would call each other and we would always watch Nickelodeon. And so it's had, you know, like a lot of people had a really personal and, you know, effect and impact on our childhood, as well as us just growing up. And so we had worked together before on doing some short documentaries for different jobs. And we had written some scripts that we had sold off. And, you know, we had talked, you know, I mean, y'all know better than anyone else, right? Sometimes you try to work with certain directors, they get attached to a project, people move on, or there are certain things like with IP or whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. And so we got to the point where we said, you know, we want to take our destiny into our own hands. And one of the ways that we thought that we could do that in an affordable manner also is to shoot a documentary. And we were throwing around some ideas. We had a couple of ideas about doing this like potential little festival and things like that. And we love Nickelodeon, and we kept going back to Nickelodeon. Right. And we did some research, and we were really surprised and kind of dumbfounded that it had never been mentioned. Right. You know, Scott's worked on documentaries, is working on a documentary. I've been on two Star Wars documentaries, and, you know, the fact that no one had done Nickelodeon, we were like, there's an audience for that, right?
Yeah.
So we went in, did our crowdfund. We're lucky
and less toxic than the Star Wars fan. Right. If I may say so. Sorry, you were going.
And you know, that was really kind of the start of it. You know, we started doing the homework, but we knew that and Scott can talk about this, but we wanted to make sure that there was actually a story beyond just nostalgia. Right. And, you know, that it wasn't empty calories. So we started doing some research. And that's whenever we found out about the story of Geraldine Laybourne and her team. And Scott can speak on it more.
Yeah, I mean, that's really once we found out about the team kind of behind the scenes, you know, Geraldine Laybourne, Scott Webb, Ann Sweeney, all those guys were like, oh, that's the story. That's the through line. You know, that's how we can connect all these amazing shows that people grew up with and actually make it a story that's compelling, that people will find out new things that they didn't know about it. So that's when it really became exciting, because we knew we had nostalgia and that would bring eyes to the table. But learning about this really kind of rock and roll badass network, you know, that shaped everyone's childhood,
right.
You know, was awesome. And so it was a blast.
Very cool. And
yeah,
go ahead, Dan.
Oh, I was going to say, I didn't realize that Ohio claims Nickelodeon.
Oh, yeah.
I never realized the connection like that.
What don't they have?
Once, well, I know. What don't
God,
they have? What
the
does
traffic
Ohio
lights,
have?
President Taft.
There's,
that's the big three.
Cincinnati, you know? Chili.
Cincinnati Chili. I just remember. I remember playing a show once in Cleveland, and someone coming up to me and being like, something about, like, you know, someone that they knew that that's helped start Nickelodeon. I was like, no, Nickelodeon started in Canada, dude. I like blew him off. I was like, I don't know what the hell you're selling, pal. I was on Nickelodeon for 89 to 2000 respectively, you know. I was 11 years. I didn't know nothing about no Cleveland, Ohio.
It's crazy, but yeah, it was.
So that was one of the things I learned.
Yeah,
watching the doc.
Us too, because you know,
was it a local station in Cleveland or
it was Columbus, Ohio? And it's actually this crazy invention.
Yeah, it was Columbus. That's right.
Even better.
Yeah,
even
it's
better.
Like a weird invention where like it was before pre-cable, and it was called Cube, Q-U-B-E, and it was this weird box that you had that gave you extra channels, but you could also talk back to it. It was like this huge boxy thing where you could like vote like it was they had like a thing almost like American Idol where you could vote people off, or you could like, should marijuana be legalized?
Awesome.
push button one for yes, button two for no. And it's just this, I was fascinated by it. Like,
we could have motivated the kid vote. We could have gotten the kid vote out in massive numbers for turnout this past if we had this cue box earlier.
Cube, yeah, it's a crazy thing. Like, it was very fascinating. I've always loved things like that, like failed technologies that like didn't make it, like Betamax or Laserdisc or stuff like that. And that's kind of so it's kind of fascinating, all this old 70s and 80s footage of this weird invention that, you know, ultimately didn't work out, but they had this one channel on there called Pinwheel that they're like, ah, let's just take that and move it to New York. And then, you know, it became what it became.
Hmm. That was the first show that I watched on Nickelodeon, if I remember
Pinwheel?
Correctly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pinwheel,
spin me around. Yeah,
I remember
something
that
in
part.
Something and see what you found. That's.
I had an older brother. He was 7 years older than me, and he hated that. Like, because I would always jam that show, and you know, he's like 16. He's like, shut the fuck up.
Shut up.
Yeah, like stop. Turn it off. And it's like there's this little
stop
kid
making it uncool in here.
Yeah. At the very end, there's a look. It's like Pinwheel, and he's like, that's what put him over the edge. This little kid going Pinwheel.
He's like, hey, Scott, I'm going to sit you down. We're going to listen to some Iron Maiden now.
Yeah,
get this crap off of you.
And it was double satisfying when we got to show him the movie, and it's like they show the Pinwheel part. It's like, all these years later, I'm still
Redemption.
Making you watch Pinwheel.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, all these memories come flooding back to your brother. He's like, I can't take it anymore.
This is it.
I'm instantly transported back to that time.
Mm-hmm.
You better be careful. He's going to be the one guy that knocks you down to a 99%.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
That's right. Just fucked up.
I'm going to totally look at who that username is. And he's going to be like, Steve Barber, Pinwheel Forever.
Yeah. Big bro.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah, big bro.
Yeah.
Remember the good times.
Oh, man.
That's awesome. Yeah. But we, you know, we, and this is, you know, not pandering at all, but the one thing, like the one, well, our two favorite shows, definitely, you know, we've been asked are like, Are You Afraid of the Dark? And then The Adventures of Pete and Pete. And so when we were creating the list of who we wanted, you know, because we did like an A list, B list, C list, right? And what I mean by that is that like the we had a list of a cast that would be interviewees that would be enough for us to appropriately tell the story. Then, you know, what would be really good and then excellent, right? Which would be like kind of what we ended up having, fortunately. And I remember whenever we did when we were doing the crowdfund, we said like specifically that we had to get like, you know, we wanted to focus on Pete and Pete. And I remember I like dressed up like as Artie on Halloween because we were doing it at that time. So we were like hitting up like Toby Huss, and he was just like retweeting, or he would like reply and, you know, as Artie and be like, not bad, boy. And we're like, yeah, I know, right? So we would love to interview
he was like, sorry, I stopped responding on Twitter.
These
weird Twitter. Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, for sure. But I mean, yeah, so it was, yeah. So we felt really lucky, you know, to talk about, to get to, you know, speak with y'all. And like you said, it was really cool to, see at the ATX TV Fest, how that worked out. But, you know, I think that one of the shows that, I mean, realistically, like, I think that the two that kind of hold up, and I was talking about to my family about it this weekend, are You Afraid of the Dark? Because those are just timeless stories, right? Like, kids just love to be scared. And then The Adventures of Pete and Pete, right? Because it's not set in terms of holding up. Like, it's in this other world, you know, like y'all describe it, right? It's like Twin Peaks meets The Wonder Years. And so I think that it kind of like, the best aesthetic also I think about is like almost how Napoleon Dynamite is not in any type of, like, you can't date it.
Right.
You can't really tell what decade it's taking place in.
Right. Yeah.
Except for everybody having middle parted hair.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what, when we would tell people we were working on it, that was what, I mean, that was always like, and again, not pandering, but that's, I mean, as I'm sure you guys are well aware of, it's like everybody, it's like, oh, are you getting, you know, you're going to get, you know, do Pete and Pete, you're going to get those guys always. That's like the first thing people would always ask.
I hate to stir
We're sorry it took so long. And I feel like we led you down a path of like, oh no, this is not going to
work. We saved the best for last.
Okay, good.
I hate to stir the pot, but if you had a kid, would you let their best friend next door neighbor climb up to their window in a ladder?
So, true. Scott, Scott can actually answer that question.
I guess it depends upon where you grew up. You know, I was a city kid, so it just ladders around the question.
I mean, you have the fire escapes, really, would be what you would do.
That reminds me of slug like, I guess beers, if I, however, which I didn't have a ladder out my window.
Jeremy had to knot together various...
For the listener, if you're not a Patreon user...
Go to Patreon to see my hand gestures in front.
He made a very dirty hand gesture. I don't think he meant it, but it... came across inappropriate. But
the story. Sorry, I'll let Scott think about this a bit more and answer. Sorry, no pressure.
Yeah, I think personally, I feel like it would be like how well I knew like their family, and you know what I mean. Like if it was someone was like, this kid's basically like a nephew to me, you know. Like if it was a neighbor kid or something like that. Hey, I know this kid real well. I'd probably be fine. If I opened my kid's door and there was another kid in there that I'd never seen before, that might be a little weird.
That'd be problematic.
We're not talking about ladder roulette here, where you just randomly put a ladder up to somebody's window. We're talking about next door neighbors that might be best friends or something.
That's where the chat roulette guy got it from. Yes. He was a big Clarissa fan. He's like, well, how can we do this on the internet?
I can't stop with my references to the previous decade of chat roulette. And
were you big on chat roulette, Mike?
Negative. I felt like that was just a terrible, horrible idea.
I didn't know what it was. I only saw South Park making fun of it. And I was like, you know what? No, I got it. I understand what it is.
Yeah. I guess there's a certain kind of cultural weight that comes with being made fun of by South Park, but that's not like the only indicators there are.
Oh, poor kids had to get chat roulette. You know, we had AOL Instant Messenger, and before that, even just the chat rooms. I remember being in like seventh grade going into like Star Trek chat rooms just to be like, you fucking you guys.
You did not do that. You did not do that.
Yes, I absolutely 100% did that. Oh my God.
Did you at least have a metal screen name?
Sixth and seventh grade. My screen name was Danny 8-Ball. Oopsies.
Really?
How stupid was that?
Former roadie for Iron Maiden turned internet troll.
So in seventh grade,
you have explained this before.
Oh, I have.
But I still like the telling.
Thanks, Mike. I mean, you've also known me for 30 something fucking years. You probably heard all my stories from me.
Not everyone.
We went to Washington, D.C., like that was a class trip from Jersey. They're like, we're day trip down to Washington. And some guy was selling lighters, Zippo lighters, like straight up like, hey, guy, you want to buy a Zippo? And my parents had given me money to like buy, you know, whatever crap I needed.
A space shuttle from the museum, and you got a Zippo.
I'm taking this $20 and I'm buying a Zippo. And what's the coolest Zippo you got, pal? And he's like, well, I got this skeleton hand holding an 8-Ball. And I was like, done. You win. And so when I got home, it was when like right when I got AOL, and I was like, what's my name gonna be? And I was like,
flick.
You're like
Danny 8-Ball.
You're like, fuck Jordy.
Yeah. Cut to college, and I'm getting knocks on my door being like, hey man, what's with the 8-Ball?
Are
I'm
you
like,
the guy who talks shit about Star Trek?
I don't understand what you mean.
People showing
He's
up.
Like, yo,
on
you guys want to go skiing? Yeah. Too many people showing up on
three
ladders.
Or four tweakers, one Star Trek fan. Yeah.
Right. One Star Trek fan.
Yeah. Yeah. We did. Go ahead.
Scott and I used to
basically do the equivalent. Like I remember we spent many years just prank calling people like all the time.
Oh, yeah. We wanted to be the jerky boys like real bad.
The Southern jerky boys, like the The jerky y'all.
The jerky y'all.
The jerky y'all.
I don't have it. I don't have it. The jerky y'all.
Caller ID kind of killed that though, because
it did. Yeah.
Yeah. Once people could know.
Can't you disable that somehow?
Yes. You do pound something and.
But then people were like, "Why is somebody calling me?" They blocked their number.
For the listener,
but back
Jeremy's
in the day,
not
that would
pounding
still
nothing.
Be. It would still be a. Maybe I'll pick it up. These days, you're like, it's just spam. No one's picking
well,
up.
Well, they've gotten real specific now. It's sort of filtered off into there's now entirely just it pops up. The caller ID pops up as car's extended warranty. It's just by itself. It was potential spam, unknown caller, and now car's extended warranty.
In the early days,
good. You guys go.
I was going to say, in the early days of the internet, there was a website called dialpad.com. And it was just like a phone. And Dialpad still exists, but it's something different. But it was literally just a phone where you could just call somebody's number. And that was after caller ID had become a big thing. Then we started pranking on Dialpad because you're calling through the internet and people didn't even really know what was going on. So that was kind of fun. You could call like people across the country and just kind of like, you know, mess with them. And there's no way they're going to find you.
For free.
A lot of pizzas were wasted back then. You know what I mean? We talked about this before too. A lot of pizzas would be prank called and just shown up at the doorstep.
10 pizzas. I don't have the money for this. Well,
somebody's going to
pay
for it.
What are you going to do with that? No, I'm not even paying for it. But if you're going to let that pizza go to waste, I'll take it.
It says your name is Danny Eightball. I presume.
Delivery for Danny Eightball.
Let's make a trade.
It says pizza topped with regatta. Yeah.
So if you, there was a, what was it? It was called Hooked on Phonics. Do you remember
Worked
that?
Worked for me.
Right. And it was 1-800-ABCDEFG. So that was like any payphone you were around. You're like, all right, guys, because they had to be really nice to you. We found this out that they would keep you on. If you wanted to keep them on the phone, it was very easy. And it would just spend like so much time. Like, what do you want to do? I don't know. Let's go down to the Quickie Mart and use a payphone and call Hooked on Phonics.
You grew up in The Simpsons?
Or psychics.
There's a Quickie Mart. It's real. That's a real thing.
There's a real Quickie Mart?
Oh, at Krausner's. We can't call it Quickie Mart, I guess.
You needed to localize it by saying, yeah, I got some Taylor ham here. And
and so then they knew.
Pork roll.
That's right. It's like, I need you to help me spell Taylor ham. Did you guys hear that?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, guys, you're not going to have clean audio because my son is screaming.
I've got ears and a heart, don't I?
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
It's funny that you mentioned Taylor Ham because I sent Marla had found something on the internet, which is Scrapple flavored vodka.
saw that.
I don't think that exists.
Oh, it does.
No, it does. Yeah,
fortunately.
There's bacon flavored vodka. I mean, that's
Yes, there is bacon flavored vodka. Called, Jeremy, turn the brightness down on your phone if you want me to comprehend.
Off the hook.
Off the hook.
That's not bad.
That's not okay.
Yeah, that sounds like something that the Lord would prescribe in the second 10 commandments. In 11 through 19, there would definitely be something about Scrapple.
This seems like an idea that someone who worked at Tito's who got fired was like, I'm telling you, this is going to be a good idea.
This is next.
Traditionally, you know, if you work somewhere, come up with a good idea, then leave and strike out on your own, it might just happen.
Or in the case of, you know, the orange ears,
you just keep doing crack until you figure out that you can put weird stuff in the pillow.
I noticed that his creepiest commercial got taken off the air, which is where he's in the couple's medicine cabinet in the morning. And the wife does like the fakest, you know, the husband's like, what the heck? He's like, hey, honey, come here. And the wife comes in and she's like, who is that? Like, it's just
hi,
not believable.
I'm Michael Dell. You buy my pillow.
He's like, from the ladder that was over here.
And you're like, it's grown up Sam from Clarissa Explains to the Ball.
He still can't play guitar. He just hits a button on his phone and it goes, it's a little whammy effect.
I wonder, there are some people that I would have loved to have talked to. Like, I would have, you know, obviously, like I said, Toby Huss is like,
you should have pranked Alex Jones for sure.
Oh.
You know, if you had given Mike and I producer credits, we could have gotten you Toby Huss like that. All you had to do was say something.
Dang don't it. Fall for
check
it.
Check out my website, dialpad.com.
You gave it all to Elisa Reyes. It's like, you got all that people, but you need the Pete and Pee-Poo. You should come to us.
You never know, man. You know, it's a roll of the dice. You know, we were on
Iggy Pop. You could have got us Iggy Pop. That would be worth the producer credit.
I tried to get Iggy Pop.
I just tried to get Iggy Pop for the Pete and Pete reunion when we raised money for the Pennsylvania Democrats.
Oh, dang it.
We tried.
Yeah.
Did he even respond?
I got no. The response was he doesn't do any Zoom stuff, but the response also said, but if he could make a video for you, would you do it? And I got his contact information and I sent it to Will. I was like, Will McRobb, you do it. You're the creative. Like, I would be like, hey, can I get Iggy Pop to do something for us? He was on a show I was on. I don't know if you remember. I was like, we'll do it because it sounds way more professional than coming out of my mouth.
It's more dignified is what you said.
Yes, much more dignified. Less creepy and beggy.
What music video was it that like Iggy did a year or two ago that was like where he's eating a hamburger? I forgot what band it was. Was it Death Valley Girls maybe?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, they definitely have connection there that
For the listener, Danny just held up two fingers like Nixon.
Oh yeah, there it is.
What's going on? we saw them play at Meltasia, I believe, Dan.
Yeah,
right?
We saw Death Valley Girls at Meltasia, and Miss Amram was playing bass for them at the time.
Back then,
they're amazing, man. Like I'm sure you know you do more than us. Like miss live music, like live performances, you know?
I miss live music so very much. Yeah. So very much. I miss playing. I miss seeing. I miss all of it. It's stinky. And it's weird to see other bands, like, you know, like I know bands who are like playing in like South Texas right now. Like, Texas isn't necessarily like closed off to live music inside even too.
Really?
When I want to recreate live music.
I know, like in San Antonio, I had a friend's band just went through there and just had like a normal show. Almost. Wow. Like probably less capacity and like people were, you know, required to wear masks and stuff, but it was still inside.
Was your friend the Flaming Lips?
No, no. But that was a cool thing that they did too. Like, hey,
but they were doing those bubble shows before the pandemic hit. Yeah. They were ahead of their time.
Yeah, right. So,
well, let me tell you something. Was Wayne Coyne in Wuhan in November, December?
When I want to recreate the feeling of live music, I just find some tall people and stand behind them.
Yeah, yeah. Find tall people, stand behind them, and just put the phone up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like I remember I was, like, for a little while, worked at iHeartRadio, and they would do like the live perform. They would do bring in bands, you know, for live performances, right, for like promos and things like that. And so they would do like the VIP experiences, and everybody inevitably in the crowd would just be like this the whole time. I'm holding up my phone for listeners.
Yeah, for the podcast, the Patreon listeners, yeah. You get it. For the listeners, $5. That's all you need.
Yeah. Very easy
to see this. You can see his phone.
It really is easy. So we would, and finally, I forgot who it was, but one of the artists stopped in the middle of a song and was like, hey, listen, I get it, right? Everything is about like recording everything now to prove that you were there. Just listen to the music for a second. And I promise I'll take a video afterwards with you. And I will say, you're like the most amazing person in the world. Please don't.
I can appreciate that very much.
Yeah. I thought it was great, you know, and anybody who was offended by it, it's like, well, then why do you go to a live music performance?
Yeah. It makes no sense to me. Yeah.
And Scott used to be in a band for a while. He recorded some of the music on the soundtrack, which is cool.
Oh, awesome.
Really?
I did. I, me and the animator who did some of the animated segments, we recorded the song that's playing when we talk about Artie. There was a,
I like that.
I just,
he's really the most cartoonish live action Nickelodeon character ever, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Easily rendered by illustrators. Like, you know, we've been lucky enough to get some P&P tributes over the years.
Oh, cool.
We did a cool thing in Portland with the release of the Waiting for October tribute that had all this different cool fan art. And I would say that people really seem to have the most fun drawing Artie. He's a lot of fun to draw.
Yeah. And that's a credit to Toby, right? Because I mean, who, as you can tell, I mean, based upon like the, like how long and you know, how he continues to be such an amazing actor. It's like, it's cool to see, I don't know. It's just so cool to see an actor. I mean, cause he was doing on MTV also, right. Doing commercials. And at that time, and I remember Scott and I used to like always, like we would be drinking like Big Red and walking around imitating his characters on MTV. And like, and now it's like, you know, you see him on Glow and The Invitation and Halt and Catch Fire. And, you know, it's like, yeah, I mean, yeah, just talent. I mean, credit to Will and Chris and everybody, man, like, cause you know, the talent
it shows
there.
You.
For finding that kind of talent,
right,
in a,
yeah, it shows
in
you
an off Broadway play.
Yeah. But like Adam and I, you know, we watched The Adventures of Pete and Pete, and we loved Artie, and then we were also kind of starting to watch MTV, and he was on those bumpers where he was kind of imitating like Frank Sinatra.
It's Sinatra doing those weird like crooner bits and in the elevator.
And I remember when we realized it was the same guy, we're like, that's Artie? Like, that's crazy, because at first glance, you never would have thought that's the same guy. And it shows you how cartoony and malleable he is. Because
malleable, excellent word.
And then someone who was like, oh man, I'm really trying to get this scene in Vegas Vacation down.
Yeah.
I need somebody that looks like
now,
a Frank
Sinatra. I auditioned for that part for the kids. So that would have been a real mind blower if I had booked the Nick Papagiorgio role in Vegas Vacation. That would have been weird.
Oh my gosh. That would have been very weird.
Hey, I'm Chevy Chase. I keep having kids, but they stay the same age as they were.
They morph. They one kid looks like one kid, but they don't really look like the same kid. It's the Dick York, Dick Sargent thing.
Yeah,
it's like they
Sergeant York.
They expect people not to know.
And they always cast
the Aunt Viv thing for the 90s kids.
Very good.
Very
good.
90s kids. Yeah,
they nice always part. Got a similar looking guy to play Russ, right? Like it was always like red hair, kind of tall, thin, until the very end where they got Johnny Galecki, who's like younger and
I read all the requirements to be selected, but I wasn't.
Who's on your shirt, by the way, Mike?
This is a character called Ginger Vitus from an artist that we met in LA called, I think the artist's name is Robo Roku.
He looks so happy, like in spite of the mouth issues that are happening.
The mouth problems. Yeah.
he's about 10 to 20 days back on election results, so he's still quite happy.
Fair enough. That's crazy. Like, what are some other like auditions where you're like, man, like I wish I would have nailed that?
Ooh.
I got a big one.
Before you answer, though, I've been wanting to do this for years, which is I want to recast the movie and just play the snippets of them.
You don't ask the questions. We ask the questions.
No, and then.
I appreciate it, Adam. Go for it.
Yeah, and then do a web series of them doing these roles over. I'm just saying, could be something fun.
I'm telling you, I would have crushed Free Willy.
That's what I'm saying. Could you imagine DT under the whale?
And I would have crushed I would have crushed the bad kid, Macaulay Culkin's character, in The Good Son.
Oh man,
that would have been a good.
Alfie agrees that you were
you're
a terrible sibling.
Look at this guy.
That's you came in right on cue. You're not going to be throwing stuff off of off of an overpass to scare and then cause an accident that kills people, right?
Lordy Lord.
When we interviewed Michael for The Orange Years, we asked him who is a better little brother, Kevin from Home Alone or Little Pete.
That is a tough one.
We're not gonna spoil it here today, is what you're saying, because anything could happen.
It didn't make the cut, I guess.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, I mean, it didn't make the cut,
Can you answer that question right now, honestly, Mike? This is important. This is really important.
I'm glad you asked. One of the favorite roles that I auditioned for but didn't get was
Dodge. Are you?
Thank you, Alfie. Alfie, you're saving me.
It's bath time, bud. Oh boy.
I guess we had a lot more adventures, whereas my character Jeff's relationship with Macaulay Culkin's Kevin character was much more arm's length, as it were.
True.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's obviously a cinematic world, a Home Alone cinematic universe, which has some backstory. It's just there's not that much flashback storytelling in that one, as opposed to the Pete cinematic world, where we had a lot of time to world build, both in 60-second and half-hour increments.
Yeah.
I think that sums it up nicely, well, Michael.
Kind of. He didn't pick a side, but yes.
Oh, I know he's picking me.
Yeah.
And he's tried to get Macaulay Culkin on this podcast plenty of times. And
Jeremy's
like,
stirring the pot.
You know what? I don't need it. I don't need him. Get him out of here. I like my fake TV brother better than my fake movie brother.
Jeremy's stirring the pot. That's what he does. It's what he does here at Seltzer King Studios, shaking it up and seeing where the bubbles rise. Well,
the joke on the live tours are that they are here so you can enjoy your nostalgic past. I am here to destroy that and to make fun of that. So yeah, that's kind
I thought
of,
you were here to finally watch the episodes of Pete and Pete and catch up with the stuff you know nothing
days,
about.
Man. One of these days I'm going to finish them all. I know it's weird.
Danny has muted
his son. How does that work?
We had a button installed when Gerard was born, but
it's not working. I'm trying to help
it
the audio here.
Working.
I'm sorry, guys. Okay.
Did y'all ever read, speaking of the Good Son, did y'all ever watch the movie or read the book, The Bad Seed?
Yes, I've seen the black and white, The Bad Seed, but I also saw The Good. I also, like most of 90s America, saw The Good Son and watched in horror.
Yeah.
When you say, oh, that's a good little kid.
That was like
he's not so good.
That was like the most against type, right? Like he was like Kim McAllister, and then he was like, no, we got to go the exact opposite way.
I think he's got to stop.
Think about
that.
What a little Pete. That would have been a perfect segue for me, but you know, whatever.
He's got to top that by starring in a remake of Night of the Hunter. Mm. That's really the sort of the depth of character that he could. Come on, Dan. You're going to get knuckle tats any day now.
I would prefer to be in the reboot of Battle Royale as like the main guy,
who sets up all the craziness.
Everybody's got to have something, right?
Something that I read for but didn't get. This is not like a well-known film, but it was on my mind at the time. Was a feature that I auditioned for the lead of, but ended up driving the electric truck on and started my electric lighting career, was a feature called Six Ways to Sunday, which is it's a movie about the mob in Youngstown, Ohio, in the Mahoning Valley. And the title role was played by Norman Reedus.
Oh, yeah.
Who looked exactly the same that day as he does today. He exists now on Fan Youth. It has maintained him perfect and maintained him perfectly since then. But I knew a bunch of the people involved, and it was something that we shot in 1997, so not too long after Pete and Pete was done. And a lot of the crew from Pete and Pete moved over to that film, and so it was a really nice something that I'm very happy with what happened, but I also could have, I also could have enjoyed that role if it were to happen that way.
Well, you were on the job. You could have, like, you know, put some grease under his feet.
Mike, five different takes over the course of shooting just to, like,
by just doing better line readings. The entire electric department got ear infections during that job. Wow. through no fault of Norman Reedus. So
weird. That's why you're supposed to wear gloves when you're handling all the wires, because then if you don't, you just, like, stick your finger in your ear and then everybody gets an ear infection.
I learned a lot of stuff on that job. I learned I didn't like Adrian Brody. That character, he had just an insufferable character. Jeremy, you're shaking your head.
I did a film with Adrian Brody.
Come on, you got to have an anecdote.
I don't know. I mean, he was better than, well, the director on the job overtook everybody. He's the guy who made American History X, and he's just an insane man. He's completely insane, but
strong personalities. Got to have. Yeah,
he had a.
I guess you won't be on one of his film sets anytime
don't care.
Soon.
Yeah, I don't care. I've sworn it off, and Adrian sort of got caught up in the mix. But Danny and I went to the premiere of Captain America: Winter Soldier, one of those, because my buddy Anthony was in it.
Time Cop.
No. And oddly enough, I'm at the bar, and who walks in? Adrian Brody. And I say, hello, how are you? And it was just fine. So I think our, you know, there's no beef there. It's just Turturro, John Turturro, that we are mortal enemies. So
that we agree on.
Yeah. John Turturro?
John Turturro. Yeah. He's kind of an asshole. Yeah. Yeah, just spread that around.
Scott Adam, do you have any bridges you'd like to burn?
Yeah, exactly. These guys don't want to make more documentaries. Let's not fuck this up for them.
That's true.
Let's not preclude on any interviews they might get in the future.
Like, no, I mean, realistically, like, everybody on the dock, and everybody, like, that was one of the things that was really, because, you know, like, we've had the good fortune to do interviews before with other talent, and, you know, you kind of almost expect there maybe to be someone that might be challenging. Right. And nobody was, right. Like, everybody was so kind. And even a perfect example is, like, us talking today. Right. Like, is that y'all are kind enough to just reach out to us and, like, show support. You don't get that. And y'all know that better than anyone, right? You know it better than me and Scott. That does not always happen, right? Because entertainment and anywhere, there are.
Hey, what can you do for me? I can do something for you unless you want to do something for me.
I hope that's changing.
I'm trying to explain that to my son right now. It's really tough to get that logic in his head.
Yeah. It's like, well, I mean, you're just like, yeah, I mean, it's, and to a degree, you know, and we were very lucky because this being our first feature film, if anyone could have said, we have no idea who you are, right? Yeah. Like, and we don't know whether it's going to be any good. And there are plenty of people. I mean, we had experiences where there was one person that we, like, that was a member, so that was on one of the shows as an extra, right? And had been reaching out to us and was like, hey, I'd really be interested. I was this one part, this and this. And we're like, okay, well, maybe, you know, we'll see what we can do, whatever. And became very, somehow actually kind of, like, for a little bit took over the IMDb and put himself, like, as the top.
As the star.
Like, the top thing, which was tough. And so I remember us going and speaking to one actor when we were doing interviews, and we were like, yeah, you know, thank you so much for taking the time and this and this. And we were like, and they asked if we had had, you know, they're like, have you had any, like, strange occurrences or whatever? And we were like, well, we did have this one person, and it turned out to be the same person. And they were like, yeah, like, they message us all the time and X, X, and X. So with that said, you know, like, y'all have these experiences all the time. So for you to give us that, you know, to give us that grace to say, okay, yes, like, you know, we'll give you all a shot to do this, you know, to be in this film. It means a lot.
Well, it was just a great idea. And it was, you know, I know it changed my life for the better and just in general. Like,
we were glad you were untainted by the, you know, previous Nickelodeon documentary crashes and burning. So yeah. You guys were emerging.
You know, if you were just doing a whole thing on the Nick Studios, what happened to it? You know, there's a lot of people that were like, "Hey, I need to know your hot take on, do you miss it? Do you?" And I was like, "I don't really have time." I mean, I did some shows there. Yeah, it wasn't like all that. I wasn't on all that when it was there. Like, I wasn't doing a ton of stuff.
Yeah,
but yeah, just you watching that film with Jerry and everyone when we did that event in New York was just such a great, fun moment, and the people who were in the audience were just so incredibly like thankful for what you guys did, and you know, watching it was really good. I mean, if I watched it was like, they didn't do such a good job, maybe we wouldn't be talking right now, is what I'm saying. So
it's a testament to your talent.
Very good.
And it says a lot about Jerry also. And, you know, Scott, I mean, Scott said this in a couple of interviews, right? Is whenever one, that Jerry like threw a party for everybody to invite us. But two, like Scott has said, when it comes to like anything that, you know, like you said, hot takes or anybody, it's like, oh, well, tell the CD underbelly. It's like, there's TMZ, right? You guys can go Google and like look at stuff like that if you're really interested. And that's not what the... I don't know. That's not what we need right now, I don't think. And that's not what this story is about. No.
And there wasn't a lot of it.
Yeah.
I really feel like that time. Right. And I'm sure now it's the same way. Like, Nickelodeon is a great, they hire good people. They have a lot of,
for the most part.
Yes. I can think of an exception that we're all thinking of right now. I understand, but yeah, for the most part.
Oh, we're talking about Jeremy, right?
They did. They really cared about the kids, and they cared about like keeping people protected and safe and not, you know.
Yeah. We thought that was something really cool to showcase, is like whatever the opposite of a toxic environment is, that's what she created and how amazing that is. And hopefully that can inspire other leaders to do something similar.
Well, that's what happens when you don't pick kids to be on TV shows to brand them for a network to do that. Like, there weren't Pete and Pete lunchboxes. There weren't, you know, it wasn't like that. We weren't singing and dancing and being in film. We were just kids doing fun stuff. And I think that was the real difference between us and other children's networks that were, we have this and we'll piggyback them into this and to do this so they can have this career, but they're also under this, you know. It's like, let the kids be kids, man, and have fun. You'll get good quality content that was produced from, you know, 89 to 99, whatever. Yeah. Jerry,
it's like what Onyx said. They said, slam. Let the kids be kids.
That's great.
Very good.
What a great way to wrap it up. What a great way. A little Onyx, a little 90s hip hop. Come on.
Very good.
Can't get any better than that. Scott and Adam, I know the documentary is out on the video on demand, right? Anything else you guys want to plug before you take off? Or
no, I mean, it's on pretty much all the transactional platforms right now: iTunes, Amazon, Vudu, Fandango. Like, it's pretty much
Fandango.
I thought that was somewhere where you bought movie tickets, but I guess maybe they've shifted. It's also on Redbox, which is a digital thing now too. It's pretty much everywhere you could want it. And, you know, we had a lot of fun making it, and we were so thankful for all the amazing Nickelodeon actors and creators giving us the time to really give us thoughtful, amazing interviews. So, you know, we had fun making it. We hope people have fun watching it.
Very nice. I can't wait.
Yeah, and we're also working on getting on Chat Ladder and Chat Roulette. So
yes, we
will. Yes.
Don't undercount any other video on demand platforms.
It's so funny, just like Scott and I, you just like pop up and you just have like a little computer and you're streaming it. You're like, no, you have to watch this.
Just think of how
I like that.
Just think of,
I think that's perfect. That's a perfect grassroots way to spread your documentary.
Yeah.
And also get yourself killed, particularly in a carry state like Texas, probably.
open carry. I played open carry chat Russian roulette.
Let's just be glad that we live in a world where 4K is the thing now and not then.
Not then, yes.
4K,
oh my God.
Of chat roulette would not be pretty. Okay. Yeah. Let's take it home.
We're part of the Last Podcast Network.
That's what we are. Part of the Last Podcast Network. Check us out, yes. lastpodcastnetwork.com. A lot of good shows on there. Also, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/DanielMike with the N spelled out. Episode
with the
videos.
The N spelled out.
Just like this
if
one.
If you have questions, let us know at 347-470-8150.
You can find
leave us a voicemail.
Michael C. at Michael C. Marona on the Twitter. Danny's at Danny Tamborelli on the Insta, at D Tamborelli on the Twitters. I am at Remy Balin on most things, at Jeremy Balin on the Instagram. I have a podcast called Going Dork. Check that out. And what else, folks? What did I forget? Oh,
The Orange Years.
The Orange Years. Yes. Please go rent it. Please. Even better, go buy it.
Keep it 100 Roddies, because that's a record we don't want to fuck up, and we know that some people are hitting refresh on the browser.
And if you know Scott Barber's brother, tell him don't do it.
Scott's
don't
barber.
Do it, bro, please.
Scott's barber has been told don't do it for at least a year now. I'm thinking with that length of hair.
Yes.
This is like a good 10, 11 months on me. So
me too. Full year. Yeah, for sure.
I cut it in July, and I felt bad about it after. It was like my quarantine cred is gone.
Show your kid has some very long hair though.
Yeah, he does. Okay, but all right.
You're
ready for bath time, I understand. Look at all this moosey on your face, bud. Cool.
I think Alfie's ready for what do you call it? Oh yeah. He's totally 90s with that hair.
And he likes the mute button on my microphone. He's like, that's cool.
Tell you the truth, so do we.
It's not. Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank y'all.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Adam Scott.
Adam Scott was on this?
he was.
Dick Sargent, Dick York.
We'll see you next time for the Scott. Snyder Cut.
Thank you, guys.
Check you out later.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye.
The Adventures of Danny and Mike stars Danny Tamborelli and Michael C. Marona. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Balin. This podcast is part of the Last Podcast Network, which can be found at lastpodcastnetwork.com. Make sure to check that out for a ton of great shows. For more information on the guys, visit our website at dannyandmike.com. Also, look us up on Twitter at Danny and Mike with the N spelled out, and on Facebook at facebook.com/TheAdventuresOfDannyandMike. Thanks for listening.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.